You'd like to turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're looking from verse 24 to the end of the chapter. God's gracious restoration of David. Is there really any way back for someone who has fallen? Is there any way back for a Christian who's backslidden? You could maybe think about the downfall of certain politicians who've been caught up in various scandals of various types. Or maybe even sportsmen and women, athletes who have cheated or even used performance-enhancing drugs to gain an advantage. For those people, even after a period of suspension, there's often suspicion, there's insinuation, there's a loss of confidence and trust in those people who have fallen from high places. Is there any way back for those who have fallen? This is true for the church as well. A minister, an elder, a deacon, one who sins publicly, they are rightly removed from office. They might even be excommunicated by their church, the denomination. And this is true for a member of the church, one who sins openly and publicly and disciplined through the church. We could ask the question, is there any way back for them? Or maybe this is a very real struggle for you personally. The sin, not necessarily a public fall, but you know you've just been making a mess of things. Your spiritual zeal, your sense of usefulness in the church, it just seems to have gone. And maybe you're asking yourself this morning, is there any way to be restored? Is there any way back this morning? Well, immediately two scriptural examples come to my mind. The first is the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, one of his closest friends, and yet a man who publicly denied Jesus three times. Was there any way back for Peter? Well, yes. Jesus came to him and restored him. Jesus spoke to him tenderly, lovingly. And Peter is made useful again in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The second example from God's word is David. David, the man after God's own heart. The man that we've been looking at over the last while. David has fallen from a great height. The king has sinned in the most awful way. He's committed adultery. He's murdered. And he's lied. And so we could ask, is there any way back for David? Is there any way that he can be restored? Can this king who's fallen from such a great height be made useful again in the kingdom of God? David, we know, has repented. He's confessed his sin. He's faced the consequences, that discipline from God. His reign as king will always carry the stain of his sins. His failure will continue to have ramifications throughout his family. He will show himself to be just a man many more times. But I want to say to you this morning that in the passage before us, there is a way back to usefulness for David. There is a way that he is restored. There's God's gracious restoration in the one who's fallen. And it's important for us to remember that in God's grace, in and through Jesus Christ, there is restoration. In God's grace, there is a way back. Not only the forgiveness of sin, but being made useful again within the kingdom. Knowing peace, knowing comfort. And maybe for you this morning, this is what you need to hear. Maybe you have been someone who's just been slipping away. And maybe those struggles and the mess that you've made of things does bring this question to mind. Can I be made useful again? Can I be restored? David teaches us, yes, you can. There is God's gracious restoration. Well, we come this morning to 2 Samuel 12, 24 to 31. And the first thing I want us to note this morning is that God graciously restores David. God graciously restores David. In verse 24, we are told that David comforted his wife Bathsheba. Remember, this is Bathsheba. This is the one that David had taken, the one that David had sinned against in lying with her. David's sin is highlighted in the previous section where Bathsheba, although now married to David, is still called Uriah's wife. Look back at verse 15. We are reminded there that David's sin was awful. David had sinful failure in his life. His guilt is before God. But now, although the sin had been committed, although what David had done was wicked and wrong, there's now the authenticating in God's word that Bathsheba is now David's wife. This union between the two is acknowledged. David has been forgiven by God. And God is graciously restoring David. We see this in the provision of a son. The provision of a son. The first son of David and Bathsheba, the one conceived in adultery, had died. That was, as we noted last week, a discipline of God upon David's sin on this occasion here in 2 Samuel. But now God shows grace in providing another son. God brings comfort to David and Bathsheba through another child. His name is Solomon. Solomon means peace. It comes from the name or the word shalom. God has brought about a settled peace. David and Bathsheba, they now have some comfort, some peace in the birth of this son after the death of their other son. But it isn't just a measure of comfort in their loss. This is far more. For David and Bathsheba, for David, there is peace with God. The son is named Solomon deliberately. David's sin is covered over, forgiven. David's prayer of Psalm 51, Lord, be merciful to me, has been answered. His sin is washed away. Even though his sin was like crimson, it's now whiter than snow. Peace has come. Peace has been brought forth. We're told that the Lord loved this son. Hence he's also called Jedidiah. Jedidiah means loved by the Lord. And Nathan the prophet brings the word of God to David. Can you see that God is graciously restoring the one who has fallen? God is entering into peace with David. God speaks to David. God declares his love for David through this covenant child. God brings peace and comfort. There's a gracious restoration for David through the provision of a son that brings peace and comfort. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But I hope that your minds are working, thinking about the provision of a son who brings peace and comfort. God is also gracious to David in that David's position is restored. David's position is restored. The king had sinned. David had sinned, firstly, in not going out to battle. David wasn't doing what he should have been doing. He'd neglected his duties. And then he sinned with Bathsheba. He'd sinned in having Uriah killed. He'd sinned in his lies and trying to cover up all that he'd done. And all of that means that David is no longer fit to be king. Because of David's sin, David is no longer fit for purpose. But look at verse 26 to 29. David is restored. He goes out as king before the people to the battle. Now, much credit's to be given to Joab here, the commander of David's army. He shows wisdom in going to David and giving this instruction to come to the battle, gathering the people together, leading the way to finish off the enemy. But I want you to notice that here David acts like the king. Here the king fulfills his duties. David has become useful again in the kingdom. His position is restored. This battle also brings to a conclusion chapter 10. Back in chapter 10, we had the war with the Ammonites. And since chapter 10, we've been waiting for this war to reach its conclusion, its finish. David had failed earlier at the beginning of chapter 11 in not going out to battle. But now he sets his hands to the task. He's equipped for the task. David is made useful again. He's ruling and reigning as the king that he's called to be. God restores David to the position of king. Becomes useful in the kingdom. Fulfills his duties and responsibilities. And God also restores David by giving him the spoils of war. He gives him the spoils of war. Verse 30 and 31. David is given the crown of the Ammonite king. David takes prisoners. The wealth and the spoils and the riches of the city is now David's. The spoils of war are returned to David as he's restored to the position of kingship. What's happening here is God is giving David far more than he deserves. God is abundantly blessing David. He's giving him not just success in battle, but he's giving him riches upon riches. Can you see God's provisions for David? This grace of God, it doesn't just restore David to peace with God. It doesn't just restore David to a position of usefulness, but it's one of abundant blessing and provision from God on the man who'd fallen from such a great height. There's provision upon provision. God restores David. There's comfort and peace. There's restored to usefulness. There's abundant provision. Before we come to apply this passage to ourselves, we have to make sure that what we see here is where this passage is pointing to, or rather, whom this passage is pointing to. Because before we come to apply it to ourselves, we must first of all see Jesus Christ. And so secondly this morning, I want us to note that God graciously restores through Christ. God graciously restores through Christ. David's restoration is only part of the story. Yes, David is restored, but there are still problems. There are still shortcomings. We're going to see that from chapters 13 onwards. The consequences of David's sin still have an impact on his house. God's discipline of the curse of the sword never departing from David's house, it's still in place. We're going to see David fail as a father. We'll see his sons following in his sins and far worse. The stain of David's sin is going to linger long down through the generations. Chapters 13 onwards are not going to make for pleasant reading. And so yes, we have God restoring David, but we are left hungering for more. We are left wanting more. We're left dissatisfied with David. And it isn't until we come to the New Testament where we find that this restoring grace of God is fulfilled and satisfied in Jesus Christ. Because God brings his true gracious restoration through the provision of a son. It is through Jesus Christ that we have peace and comfort. The angels could declare at the birth of Jesus, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Is this child born to Mary and Joseph? This child who would grow as a man of peace. And through his death, we would be given peace. It's what the angel said to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. It is through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone that we have true comfort and peace. Because David's sin and our sin has only been paid in and through Jesus Christ. The one who'd done nothing wrong, the one who died in our place, did so that we might have peace with God the Father. Where we are deserving of wrath and judgment, where we are deserving of the fullness of God's hatred for our sin, Jesus Christ took that on himself on the cross. Through the provision of a son, we have peace with God. Peace between the creation and the Creator. Peace for those who were at war with God. Do you know this peace? If you're in Jesus Christ, then this peace and this comfort has come to you. Your sins have been forgiven. When we come to Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. We are declared whiter than snow. Isn't that what the children were hearing? This glorious name of Jesus Christ. He brings us spiritual peace and comfort. And Jesus is also the one raised from the dead. He was restored for us, not from his own sins, but because he never committed any sin, but yet took the punishment, and then he was raised again, restored from the dead, showing us that in Jesus Christ we have a king and a savior, one who's victorious. One who's mighty, one who brings about change in our lives, one who shows us that the enemy is defeated. And in Jesus Christ, when we have peace with God, the King then commands us to live for him. The risen King. We are then in Jesus Christ made useful within his kingdom. As he calls us to fulfill our duties and our responsibilities. It's what the angel said to Mary. You shall call his name Jesus. And to Mary the angel said, because he will reign forever. The King on the throne, the one who rules and reigns, the one in whom we are brought into his kingdom. And there we are given the privilege and the joy of serving him. We are made useful in and through Jesus Christ. Even Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus asked him, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times Peter replied that he did, and 3 times Jesus gave Peter responsibility. "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." 3 times Peter was told that he was to be useful. In Jesus Christ, the risen King, the one with the crown on his head, we are made useful within his kingdom. And Jesus gives us good gifts. He provides us with all that we need. In Jesus Christ, there is blessing upon blessing. In Jesus Christ, here in this life, we are strengthened for the task. We're equipped for what he calls us to endure and what he calls us to do. His grace and his mercy are there for us every day. Bless us, strengthen us, to comfort us. Jesus Christ upholds us. We have blessing upon blessing. And we have an inheritance, an eternal inheritance kept for us. That's beyond measure. All the riches of Jesus Christ are ours. It should be no surprise to us that this is true, because his name is Jesus. He is salvation. He is the King on the throne. You see, where we are left hungering for more in the life of David, in Jesus Christ we are satisfied. He fulfills all that Scripture says about him. And so, friends, this morning, we need to be reminded there is a full and a gracious restoration in Jesus Christ for all who come to him, for all who are his. Peace and comfort, made useful in his kingdom, and given abundant blessings and riches beyond measure. I want to finish this morning just with a few points of pastoral application for us. And so, thirdly and lastly, God's gracious restoring of us. Is there any way back for those who have fallen? For those who've sinned publicly or privately? Is there any way to be restored if you've made a complete mess of things? Well, the answer this morning is yes. Through Jesus Christ, we can be restored. We are restored. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace. We can be useful once again. And God is often pleased to bless us beyond measure in this life, and he will most certainly in the life to come. This applies to the minister, to the elder, to the deacon who has stumbled. In Jesus Christ, there's a way to be restored, a way to be made useful again. Come to Christ. This applies to the husband, the father, who perhaps hasn't been faithful, who's maybe not shown Christian leadership in the home. In Jesus Christ, there's a way to be restored. There's a way to be made useful again. It applies to the wife, to the mother, who's maybe let her spiritual devotion and her Christ-like walk slip. With the busyness and the pressures of life has maybe grown cold. There's a way to be restored. There's a way to be made useful again. It's in Jesus Christ. This applies to those who've maybe given so much to their work, their professional life, or to their hobbies and their interests. And although they look good on the outside, they can come to church on the Lord's Day, they look as though they have everything in order, yet they're really just putting on a show. Because inwardly, they're distant from God. But in Jesus Christ, there's a way to be restored. There's a way to be made useful again. The older person maybe looks back and thinks to themselves, oh, the years that I have wasted. Can I really be useful now in Christ's kingdom? Can I really have that warmth and devotion to my Father in heaven? Well, in Jesus Christ, there's a way to be restored. There's a way to be made useful again. What about the young person who's maybe drifted? The young person who's made a mess of things, whose witness has been tarnished by foolish decisions, wrong decisions, wrong friendships. Maybe you just feel as though you've made the wrong choices and you've gone away from that first love of Jesus Christ, from what you've been taught. In Jesus Christ, there's a way to be restored. There's a way to be made useful again. In Christ and through Christ, friends, there is a way open to us to come to the Father, a way to have our sins forgiven, a way to be at peace with God, a way to be comforted even after our sin and our failure and our fall. Through Jesus Christ alone, there's a way for us to be lifted up and to be set back on the right path and to be useful within Christ's kingdom, living for Christ, a renewed commitment for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. It's all through Christ Jesus. This also means that as a congregation, we have a responsibility. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." We are to seek restoration. We are to call on one another to be restored in Jesus Christ. We are to pursue restoration. And when there is restoration, when one who has fallen even from such a great height, when they come in and through Jesus Christ, we should rejoice. We should give thanks to God. We should be accepting that Jesus Christ has restored the one who has gone astray. That suspicion that we have of athletes and politicians who fall, that trust that's been broken in the church, when there is restoration in Jesus Christ, we are to trust that Christ has restored. He has brought peace. He has brought usefulness. He has brought blessing upon blessing. God the Father graciously restores all who come to him in and through Christ Jesus. Amen.